And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, listen to this, David ran quickly out to meet him. This is what God loved about David, a man after his own heart. He went for the challenge. He ran at Goliath. And it's significant, because if you are hesitant when you stand in faith, you're exposed. But when you ran at the enemy, fearless, under the anointing of the Lord, something happens. Then reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. So it's interesting how the Lord used this example to show to the people of Israel, it will not be your weapons. It will not be your own means that will bring the breakthrough. What David came with was almost with nothing. It's a slingshot is not part of warfare, but it was effective. It was the way God chose. And if one looks at that story, David understood the prophetic meaning of what he was doing. But what he needed to execute it was a boldness. The boldness is the anointing of the Lord that rests upon his people. And this is very important. That, remember in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came from time to time upon people. In the New Testament, he was poured out in full. We can operate constantly in the presence of God. We can operate constantly with an awareness of the anointing of the Lord. And this is what God wants to establish. A people after his own heart. A people worship him in spirit and truth. A people that are drawn to his presence. Imagine what is possible if we can learn to constantly host his presence. If we can learn to operate with an awareness of God in my life, like when the dove came upon Jesus and he walked with that dove. The dove, it wasn't the dove, it was the Holy Spirit that came like a dove. But just in terms of picture, if you are unrestful, if you are full of fear, the peace of God cannot rest on you. John said, he's told the others that, the Lord told me that on him on whom the Spirit of God rests, stays, he's the anointed one. So Jesus is our older brother, and that means that's our portion as well. We are called to host the presence of God. We are called to operate under the anointing of the Lord. The thing is just, we switch in and out. Okay? We are sometimes aware when we are in prayer, we know him, but then the day starts and we get busy. Our mind gets distracted. What happened there was David heard something that was not right. Remember, David didn't come there to fight and to whatever. He was taking food to his brothers. But he heard something that's not right. How often through the day do we hear things that are not right? Do we see things that's not God's will? How often do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? What that shows is David was sensitive. He heard something that was not right. And what arose in him was the power of the living God, the boldness of the Holy Spirit. The word says clearly, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And sometimes that scripture, we think that the Lord is actually saying, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit in a meek sense. What he's actually saying is, no might and no power can come to his power. The Holy Spirit, another description of the Holy Spirit is dunamis, which means dynamite. The power of God that can rest upon a person. And the thing is that unless we cultivate a lifestyle that embraces the work of the Holy Spirit, we will tune in and out. We will taste a little bit, but we will always wonder about more. And, you know, we won't be operating it constantly. People, South Africa is going through a time where it won't be able to be fixed by human hands. We are past the point of no return. You know the whole theory about the point of no return? The kamikaze pilots of the Japanese, when the tank was halfway empty, the planes became missiles. There's no return. South Africa is there. I can tell you as an economist, as knowing that we have gone past that. But for us as believers who hear that giant shouting at us, it's over. You won't be able to fix South Africa. How are we responding? Like David, when we hear this giant shouting, young people who see unemployment being high, who see the problems in the country, racial issues, it breaks your hope. You don't know, Lord, do we have a future? That's Goliath shouting. You won't make it. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to feed you to the birds. How are you going to respond to that? You see, this is the thing. When the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon you, and the Lord, the power of God, is something that's familiar to you, that is what must rise up when you hear this. That is when your prophetic voice needs to be released and say, I cancel that in the name of Jesus. I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. In the valley of dry bones, it was dry. There's nothing. There's no hope. There's no life. And the Lord said, prophesy. Prophesy to these bones. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, the word says. The Lord is putting before us life and death. Choose life. Our faith will be tested like never before. But this must be good news to us. People, there's a warrior instinct the Lord is starting to cultivate amongst His people. What is a warrior instinct? A warrior instinct is when you are challenged, you fight back. When you are challenged, something in you rise up. I mean, David, he told Saul, when the lion came and snatched one of the lambs or the sheep, I went after it. Something in him rose up. And he smote that lion, not by his own might, but by the power of God. As a generation, especially a younger generation coming through, if we learn early to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the supernatural will become natural. And this is what we need in South Africa. Because then, like David said, the nations will see there's a God in South Africa. The world will take note that God is alive. When I wrote this book, Enough, Afrikaans, Genoeg, I was actually I'm a visiting professor in Austria at the university there, but in the afternoons I just go and I go pray and just spend time with the Lord. And I was standing there are massive, tall, straight trees, massive, in the woods. And I was standing there, and suddenly the Lord said to me, Arno, you're standing amongst my arrows. And I knew it was like prophetic speech. And the Lord says, I'm calling you to South Africa back. to pull what is crooked straight again. So that I can shoot my arrows from my rainbow nation. My rainbow nation. The rainbow, although there's political connotations to it, the rainbow is God's first promise to mankind. Here we have a country in the end times called the rainbow nation. And God wants to raise up arrows, straight arrows, and shoot it with a message into the world. So God's going to do something in South Africa that's going to blow our minds. I'm just one of the messengers, but He's going to pull what is crooked straight. The scripture He gave me was Isaiah 61, which speaks of a planting of the Lord, oaks of righteousness, people who don't compromise, people whose hearts are set on the Lord, the Davids, the Issachars. Those who say, come what may. Whatever it takes, I will obey the Lord. A people, a generation of people that are unashamed of the gospel. Are you part of that? Yes, the time has come for God's people to say, yes, Lord, in the full sense of the word, in South Africa. The Lord then told me to write the vision, make it plain, and let people read it as they run by. Habakkuk 2 verse 2. And this is, the words just came and the book just flowed out of that. And literally, it pulls straight and it gives perspective, understanding where we are, where we need to go. I'm not going to go into the book now. You're welcome to have a read. But the Lord is raising a standard. The scripture says, Isaiah 59, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raise up a standard against him and put him to flight. What's that standard? It's us, the living stones, that speak the word, that live the word, unashamed. And this is the people God is raising. Another scripture, if you can go with me to Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. And Timothy was his young disciple. And he really complimented him about his faith and his faithfulness. Verse 6, he says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God has given you when I laid hands on you. Now listen to this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. What the armies of Israel experienced was timidity and fear. Pull back. No, we can't take on Goliath. This giant is too big. How do we overcome the challenges in South Africa? Are we fearful, timid? But He's given us, let me say, a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Power, the Holy Spirit working in us. Love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And self-discipline, the decisions we make to obey the Lord despite circumstances. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. When he speaks there, Paul, about fanning the flame, fan the flame of your gifts. People, this is it. When we allow the Holy Spirit to stir up the gifts he's put in us, our faith rises up. The prophetic, Paul says, of all the gifts, pursue the prophetic. The heart of the Lord is to empower His church with the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can strengthen each other, minister to each other, but so that we can take it also to the Lord, to the world. This morning we talked about it. This is half time. Church is actually outside the walls of church. This is where we regroup, share the word, receive, pray together. Tanks fill up, but the real world needs us. And this is what we need to realize, especially in South Africa, because we have a tradition of Sunday Christianity. We are used to, my religion is private faith. Whereas Jesus said, go and make disciples. Proclaim the gospel. Be unashamed of the gospel. This is the guts, the boldness element that needs to kick in. Not just when we face the giants, but in our everyday walk. We are called people, and this is it. We need to, that's why hosting the presence is so important. It needs to become a lifestyle. When I go out here, when Monday starts, I must be ready to speak the word of God to every person passing me by. How much time do we go past people and we don't even bother about asking them if they know Jesus? We just accept everybody's Christians. Whereas Jesus said, make disciples. If you ask the nominal Christian, the normal Christians, did you lead somebody to the Lord the past week? Almost nobody would put up their hand. The past month, one person to the Lord? Very little. The past year, one person, just one person to Jesus. Very little would put up their hand. You see, we are not sensitive to what God has called us enough. And this is where we allow the Holy Spirit to sensitize our hearts. Because the problem in South Africa is that Jesus is not at the center. Who's going to bring him to the center? His people. Us, you and me. This is what we are called for. It starts with fanning the flame. Allowing the Holy Spirit to draw us deeper into his presence. And start operating under the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So David is an example of allowing boldness as anointed by the Lord to overcome the greatest of challenges. He's an example of, although he's young, like Timothy, he's not ashamed of what he believes in. The Lord is asking us, are you ashamed of me? Do you love me? Do you show that love to the world? Because if we shrink back, we go into timidity. We go into fear. So we cannot allow the enemy to keep on destroying this country by shrinking back. The Lord is calling us, young and old, to put our hand to the plow and not look back. To not be ashamed of the gospel. To allow the Holy Spirit to stir up a boldness inside us. And this is the fire of the Holy Spirit that burn in our hearts. That say, Lord, I cannot allow people around me to just go to hell. We are called to make disciples. Every Christian should actually, as we stand here, sit here, we should ask, who are you discipling at the moment? Three or four people. Were you discipling? Were you discipling? That's what we should be calling. It's not like a law or anything. It's not, but it's like that's getting real. To saying, I'm doing the will of my Father. You see, at the end of the day, David knew exactly who he was, and that was the key. When Paul speaks to Timothy, he tells him exactly who he is. Because this is the thing. Identity is not about who you are. Identity is whose you are. Whose are you? Who's your father? That shapes your identity. Because being aware of who you are leads to self-centeredness or insecurity. But if you know whose you are, that your Father is the God of heaven and earth. Nothing can stand against him. And that's the identity God wants to seal in his people. The word says in Isaiah 11 that, and it refers to the Jesus coming from Jesse's root. And he said he had the spirit of wisdom and understanding, power and might. But his delight was in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? His delight, his awareness that my Father is almighty. Awareness and realization that my Father, no one can conquer. You see, the more we are aware of who He is, the more we can be who we need to be. Because we are insecure. That's why we shrink back. That's why we are afraid to share the gospel. And God wants to solidify our identity in Him and say, I am your Father. I will provide in your needs. I will empower you in the day of battle. He says, when they call you before courts, I will give you what to say. It will be an opportunity for me to work through you. You see, the issue is not the challenges. The issue is, are we ready? I believe God is preparing a wineskin for South Africa so that He can pour out His new wine. But are we willing to be shaped by Him? Are we willing to say, Lord, I'm sacrificing my everything? Because to put on the new identity, I just need to die fully. The problem is we don't die fully. We keep something of ourselves. Then it's a mixed identity. Sometimes I'm on fire for the Lord, sometimes I'm not. Who are you? Whose are you? And when God is your Father, like in the case of Jesus, a total awareness of who He was. He was the Son of the living God. David saying, I come to you in the name of the God of heaven and earth. In that name. That's whose I am. That's my Father. An awareness of who we belong to. People, that is where the Lord seals us in Him and where the Holy Spirit can empower us. Where we stop being insecure about who we are. Because security and confidence does not lie in my strength of character or personality and all that things. It truly is about knowing who I belong to. When I fall back, in whose arms do I fall back? If you're aware of the Father and the Father's embrace, that seals who you are and that settles it. And this is what the Lord wants to solidify. I believe tonight is a night where the Lord wants to tell you, you are mine. You are mine. And I'm raising you up for a time such as this. I'm raising you up be my David, to be my Esther, to be my instrument in the face of the greatest challenge this country has ever faced. There's no human solution, but there is a godly solution. When we spend time in the presence of the Lord, He will reveal Himself. He will reveal His answers to us, and we will receive supernatural wisdom. The question is, how much do we give ourselves for it? The music team, I want you to come, please come forward. The question is, to what extent are we willing to really lay ourselves down, sacrifice what we have, and saying, Lord, I'm giving it all. Half-heartedness will mean the end of South Africa. Half-heartedness is like a poison. It leaves you in doubt. And the Lord wants to rip that out and give us a heart that fully serves Him. That's why He loved David. Because David didn't care. David, if he dies to the glory of God. The same with Paul. He said, if I die, it's gain. If they kill me for my faith, it's a shortcut home. Are we ready to really make a stand? Because our obedience to God will break down the strongholds of the enemy. I believe that God is raising up an army in South Africa. That's what I believe. An army of people who know who they are because they know who their God is. An army of people that will not shrink back. That will stand up for God and say, enough is enough. A people who will not fight in the flesh, but who will fight in the spirit. You see, the weapons of our warfare is spiritual. It's much stronger than physical weapons. And the Lord wants to make us aware of who we are so that we can know what we have in Him. If you take the armor of God, there's nothing stronger in this world, no atom bomb, whatever, stronger than the armor of God. Because just the sword is the word of God that can create, that can change, and the rest of the armor is there to empower these people. I want you to stand with me. The song I want us to sing together, Break Every Chain, and it speaks of an army being raised up by the Lord. Before they sing it, I just want to pray for you. Father, as we stand here together, Lord, I pray, Father, that each one stands here as an indication that we are signing up for your army, Lord. Our hearts are set on you, Lord. When Ezekiel prophesied over the dry bones, what erected was an army, a standing army who took a position, who stood with purpose, who knew who they were, and who could be used by the Lord. Father, tonight we put up our hands and say, Lord, use me. Father, I pray for faith in the hearts of your people. I pray for a boldness to rise up, Lord, inside us. Do not shrink back when we are confronted. To stand in faith and know that we stand in your victory. We don't fight for victory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we fight from victory. We glorify you, Jesus. Let's worship him.